Well, good morning. That's a good morning. Remind you that the children's church is now open up there. They've got youngins running around up there. So if anybody comes in or needs to take their child up there, you're free to go up there. It is good to see you here this morning. Are you happy to be here? Yeah. Joel is like, give me my phone. I'm a teaser. Because people mess with you if you leave your phone around. They might leave some indiscreet messages on there. Just something just to mess with them and all. Hey, how many of you took the time earlier to fill out your connection card, tear it off, and turn it in? Now, those of you that didn't take the time to fill that out, during this message, I give you the rights and the authority and everything invested in me to fill yours out during this message. Because people think you're taking notes either way. So you can take notes or fill that out. But we really would love for you guys to fill these out, turn those in. It allows us to keep up with you. Remind you that on the back side, they have places for your prayer requests. That's very important. We have a group of people that are praying. Pray for you all the time and pray for these prayer requests and praises. They come from both our campuses at the Langston campus that has a 9:30 service and at this campus that starts at 10:45. So we're thankful for those that you turn in those. How many of you are enjoying this heat wave? So Preston is. He's the only one because he's staying in the air conditioning. How many of you, man, this stuff is rough, isn't it? I mean, is not the heat been rough? What's that heat index got up to, like 106, 107? Oh, my gosh. I don't know what a heat index is, but all I know is that you walk outside and you pop out and sweat. Does that happen to you guys or just me? Let me tell you something else I've noticed. I noticed my plants are affected by this weather, the weather. You understand what I'm saying? The heat and everything. Now, by the way, I found out how you can tell more accurately than the weather station whether or not it's going to rain that day. Do you want to know how? You can call your pastor. And when you call the pastor, ask your pastor, did you water your garden or did you water your grass today? Because if I did that, you can guarantee it's going to rain that night, okay? So it's more accurate than the AccuWeather and the Doppler radar and all that stuff because I just water my grass. I called Jody yesterday. I think I left the water sprinkler on and it's raining in Statesboro. And she's like, I already cut it off, you know? And I'm like, golly, I can't believe that. But let me tell you about some of my plants. I don't know about you, but my plants, they change in a day or two if you don't water them. Have you noticed that? I don't know about your plants, your flowers, but it's like, they'll be all like, woo, it's a good day. They'll be all excited. Their little arms are sticking. Well, I guess they're stems, but their stuff sticks up. They got their little flowers showing. Their greenery's doing. But you go one day, they sort of, without water, and they sort of do like this. Hey, it's a good day. Woo-hoo, you know. But that second day, with 107 heat index, with the environment the way it is, they just sort of go, we quit. Where are you at? What you doing? Why aren't you taking care of us? And 3 days, they start dropping leaves. They start dropping whatever they got. I guess it's like when you come home and it's so hot, you just start taking your clothes off or whatever. It's just like they just shuck everything. But listen to this. I can come back and I can water them. And you think it would just be instantly, but it's not. It takes a little bit of time. But within hours, you can start seeing them coming back up. And that next morning, they're all like, hey, it's a great day. And it's like they've recovered. Now, how many of you have ever gone to Lowe's and gone to the very back in the garden section of Lowe's, and they have these plants that are discounted? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They're either 50% off or get them for a dollar or whatever, and they look rough. They're discounted because they're either too big for the pots or something's happened to it. They're dying. You understand what I'm saying? And we get them at a discount, right? And then everybody in this room does exactly like their preacher, and we all pretend like we're Jesus, and we go and try to resurrect flowers and see if we can bring them back to life and see if we have that power in us. I went one time to Tillman and Branch, and they had like these pepper plants, all different kinds of pepper plants, a rack of these Bonnie plants, I think that's what they were called, the name of, but they were all kinds of pepper plants. And they got those things there, and I was like, man, what are you doing with those? And she had pushed them to the back. She said, well, they've dried up so much that the company won't take them back, and it's going to take a lot of water for us to do that, so we're just throwing them away. I'm like, what? Are you throwing away plants? She said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you all of them that you want. I said, well, will they make it? She said, you take those plants home, and you just soak them in water. Just get you a pot or get you a little tray of water. Put all the plants in there. Let them sit for 2 days and then plant them. They'll be all right. Sure enough, I went home, got me a little trough. I got like 25, 30. It was free. You understand? I don't need that many peppers. I don't eat that many peppers. But you know how it is. If somebody gives you something free, you just like, well, I'll have more than one. You know, I'll take two, you know? Same way. So I put them in the water, let them soak for 2 or 3 days. Them things just perked right back up. I planted them, and I had more peppers than what I knew to do with. I put them in planters with my flowers. I had flowers and plants. I mean, flowers and peppers. You know, orange peppers, red peppers. Yeah, I didn't even eat any of them. But I grew them. And I could see the difference that water makes. When environments are really hard on plants and things like that, you have to water them regularly and give them enough water to hydrate them, to give them their water. Now, let me tell you, the same is true for human beings. I don't know if you know that. The same is true for human beings because we get dehydrated. The environment around us can dry us up or dry us out. Some of you women understand what I'm talking about your skin. You understand? You're getting dry skin. And it can dry us up and dry us out. And according to Dr. Jeffrey Utz, now he's not the Utz that does the potato chips, but he's a neuroscientist in pediatrics at Allegheny University. He says that different people have different percentages of bodies that make up the body is made up of water. So there's varying percentages. And when that water percentage goes down from what you're supposed to have, that's what we call dehydration. It's when you've lost so much water, your body and hasn't been replaced, or your body doesn't replace it, or you're not drinking it or intaking it, and it prevents your body from performing at its normal levels or its normal function. Infants and children are especially prone to dehydration because their bodies are made up of a larger percentage of water than adults. For instance, babies have the most makeup of water. When a baby is born, a baby, get this, 78% water. 78, the 12%, I'm not sure what it is, but it's 78% water. By the time the child becomes 1 year old, at the age of one, that amount drops to 65%. Now, for us as adults, we range between 60 for male and 65 for female, somewhere in that 60 to 65 range that you're made up of water. And understand this, to survive and to thrive in harsh conditions, we all need to have daily intakes of water. We have to keep replenishing our water. You understand that? Now you're starting to get thirsty, aren't you? Yeah. Let me tell you this. The interesting fact about some of the things about when I say water, some people would say, you know, Luke's this big athlete back there. You know Luke. If you know Luke, hold your hand up, Luke, so you can see what a big athlete looks like. That's Luke. So he's all into this sports drinks and stuff. He's probably drinking Gatorade. I don't know. He didn't like Florida that much. He might just bring Powerade or something. But, you know, all these sports drinks talk about how they'll replace the electrolytes in you. Well, there's some truth in that they replace the electrolytes, but the other things they're putting in is not necessarily what your body needs. In fact, the truth is that the ingredients of some of your favorite sports drinks will not hydrate you and benefit you like water will. And in fact, they may even be detrimental to your health with the chemicals you put in. Yes, you're getting electrolytes, but you're not getting the right liquid that you need, that your body's used to absorbing. See, when you nourish your body with water, you restore your body back to this balanced, whole state. So your body can function. In fact, your knees are lubricated. Your joints are lubricated by moisture. To survive and thrive in harsh conditions, you and I, like the plants, need to take in daily amounts of water. Now let me tell you symptoms. Well, actually, rather than me tell you some of the symptoms of dehydration, I want you to shout out some of the symptoms that you know of dehydration. Somebody tell me one. Preston? Headaches. One. That's correct. I've got my list here, so I'm just going. Cramping. That's two. When you lose water, your body begins to cramp. Stop sweating. That's terrible right there. When you stop sweating, that's almost on heat exhaustion. That's true. That's three. Yes. Fatigue. You get tired. You get more sleepy. You get more sleepy. Yes. Wait. Pass out. Yes. Dry mouth. Your mouth gets dry. Absolutely. Man, are y'all reading my notes or something? They put it up on the screen. I'm just looking to see, you know. We just live in Georgia. We know these things. You can't spit a gnat out because your mouth is so dry, the gnat goes in and it just says, well, I'm not hanging out in there. There's no water in there, you know? So what's some others? Here, let me give you a couple. You get confused. You can get lethargic, not moving. Some of you are going to have a hard time deciding if you're really dehydrated or that's just your normal state. I understand that. Dizziness, your heart rate goes up. Your blood thickens. Your joints aren't lubricated as well. You have few or no tears. That begins to dry up. Your tear ducts do. You have dry skin, headache. Your urine output decreases. You're tired or sleepy, dry mouth. But do you know what the first symptom of dehydration is? You didn't even mention it. The very first one. You're thirsty. It's interesting to me that you know all these other things. Yeah, when I get a headache, I need to drink something, you know. But I'm thinking, maybe when you're thirsty, that's when you start. But probably what we say is, well, I'll get some water later. It's not convenient to get water now. Now, they will tell you over time, you get to a certain point of dehydration, you can take in the water, but it doesn't get in quick enough. It's like the plant. You can saturate the plant water, but it's not restored in that moment. It takes time. The process of absorption, the process of your functions of all your insides starting to happen again when you take in that water. It has to depend on you putting in, and if you put it in a regular basis, it's better. The Institute of Medicine recommends that a water intake for women is 2.7 liters of water a day, which is about 12 cups. For men, it's 3.7. I don't understand that, but we need more water. And that's about 15 cups. Don't say that stuff. We work more than them now. I'm just telling you, Ronnie, that's why you ain't got a female sitting beside you right there, brother. You keep thinking like that, it ain't going to happen now, I'm telling you. Yeah, there you go. He's going to come to the garden. So here's some ways. Now, I'm on this water kit. Can I go ahead and run this down this route a little bit? So here's some ways that you can keep hydrated. I want you to put these in your notes because I don't want any of you. But see, there was somebody that passed out at Splash in the Burrow from dehydration. Splash in the Burrow is this water park in Statesboro. But they did not... They played in the water, they ran in the water, they did the wave pool, they did all the other things, but they weren't intaking water. And they passed out from dehydration. It can happen. You can be around water, but not intake it. It's not about being around water, it makes a difference about intake it. So here is your top four things that you can do to help you stay hydrated. Number one, keep your water bottle handy. Have water around you. Have access to you. Most of the time, we don't have water with us. Therefore, we don't drink it. So have some water. Have it on your desk. Have it in your backpack. Have it somewhere. I don't recommend leaving it in your car. I've done that because I tried to drink some one day, and it's like 99 degrees, you know, and that's just not good. But in a pinch, warm water will still work to hydrate you. So keep water, your water bottle, keep water handy, or your water bottle handy. Number two. You can spice up your water. You can put those little packets of stuff in there and make it taste a little bit different. You can take some chunks of lemon. Have you ever gone to the restaurant and you say, I want water. And what do they ask you? With lemon? Well, why are they doing it? Because it gives it a little bit of taste, a little bit of flavor. You can make it with lime. You know, tell them you want it with the jalapeno peppers one time and see what they do. I mean, I don't know. You know, by the way, it's not some of your environments that dehydrate us. It's not just the temperature. And sometimes there's a difference, and I don't know why I'm going down this path now, but I'm just going to go here real quick. There's a difference in your environment sucking the water out of you and having a thirst created by stuff that you choose to do. For instance, I went to Elsom the other day. There's three Elsoms in town. Everybody knows that. And, well, Chewy, if you don't know that, then you're in trouble, so because you weren't there. But, I mean, there's three Elsoms in town, and there's the one at the railroad track. There's one that looks like the hat, and then there's a small one, right? We went to the small one to eat the other night, and we were eating there. And I hadn't eaten lunch, didn't have much for breakfast. And you know they give you chips and salsa, and it's like hit and miss at some of these salsas. But I got a hit day that time because that stuff was hot. And I mean, that woman, I actually got up and went back to the, I didn't wait on my waitress or anything. I had to go get some water. It was that bad. It was just tearing me up. Now, That thirst was created because my mouth was on fire. Now, my stomach was full of water because I was drinking it, but my mouth was still on fire. Now, we're not talking about that type of thirst. We're talking about a thirst that comes from being dehydrated. So we spice up our water, not spice it up in terms of jalapenos, but putting something in there, changing the taste of it. The other thing is change your eating habits. If you eat more fruits and vegetables during the day instead of chips or dry cereal or things that are dry, those things replenish fluids in you as well, but you're eating it. So you're sort of tricking yourself, I guess you will, but you're changing your eating habits helps those to get in there. The next thing is, and the last and most important thing, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to your body. When you're thirsty, there's a reason for that. It's a trigger mechanism. It's supposed to let you know. It's something God put in us to let us know, I need liquid. I'm not talking about a beer, and I'm not talking about something else. I know some of you are going to go down that route and say, man, three cold beers is equals to one glass of water. No, it doesn't. And that might work with your argument with your friends and everybody else. I'm just trying to hydrate. Preacher said to hydrate, so I drunk a 12-pack. No, that ain't going to get it. That's 2.7 liters, preacher. You told me. I said, that doesn't equal out like that, even if it comes from the Rocky Mountain Coors Light beer or whatever. It's not the same thing. But you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to your body when it says it's thirsty. To survive and to thrive in harsh conditions of this Georgia weather, this South Georgia weather, is going to take daily amounts of water in these various forms that I talked to you about. But you know I didn't come here to talk to you about my garden. And I really didn't come here to talk to you about dehydration, though I did. What I come here to talk to you about is the thirsting of our soul. See, the same is true for our soul as well as our physical body, that sometimes our soul, our spirit thirst for God. And some of us are walking around not as nice, plump grapes on the inside. We're actually walking around as dried up raisins on the inside because our soul is drying up. The absence of God, the absence of the Spirit of God living in us, the absence of the love of God in us, that we need to survive, that we need to thrive, that we need to grow, is missing. And we're thirsting. And let me tell you, your outside symptoms won't show. I mean, I could say Katie over there. Katie could be thirsty right now looking at her, but you couldn't tell. You understand? My dog pants. That doesn't mean he's thirsty. That just means he's trying to get the heat off of him. You understand? You don't know who's thirsting by just looking at their outside. Now, I can do the test about dehydration if your skin doesn't come back. The elasticity's not there. I can tell that, you know, you're dehydrated. That's one of the signs they use. But that first sign of thirst, you know it. And unless you let somebody else know it, no one else knows that you're thirsting. And there's many people in the world, there's many people in our town, there's many people in this room whose souls are thirsting for something right now. Maybe it's thirsting for hope or love or direction. Maybe it's thirsting for physical healing and I don't have hope because I'm not confident of that. I don't know what it is, but our souls thirst to be with God. There's a psalm that's written, Psalm number 42. Psalm 42 was written by someone during the time, and it's called a psalm of ascent. And what happens is that in the old ancient Jewish culture, they would make numerous trips from wherever they lived out in the wilderness or the region or the desert, and they'd make these trips to come to Jerusalem, the church where God was, the Temple Mount was, God was there. And they'd make these long trips. And let me tell you, it's a long trip because most of the paths led down near the Jordan River where it was the last place to get water. But then it was an uphill journey to Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem, see, the Jordan River feeds down from Galilee and comes on down through Israel and comes down and ends at the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point above ground on earth. And there's nothing there, but it's real arid and dry. And so people come that route, and then it's 3,000 plus. It's almost 4,000 feet straight up. A walk to get to the temple.
A bus takes it in about 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. I was on a bus, in a tour bus, and they was driving that ride 20, 30 minutes. You know how you're going in the mountains and you're driving that gear, you know, you hear, and think about a bus, an old bus, old school bus. It never come out of third gear. It was whoa, 30 minutes up that hill. Imagine walking that. And after walking in the desert and walking that, and you're heading to God, you're heading to get refreshed, you're heading to get this, but your body is drained of its fluids and you're tired. Listen to how Psalm 42 starts. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This writer sort of tries to let us know that when a deer is run and out in arid areas and dry areas and it needs water, it thirsts for water, it pants for water. And he's like, I'm needing you and I'm making this track to come to you. I need to have my soul refreshed and watered. So what's the answer to a refreshing soul? What's the answer to how we get our souls rehydrated when we're at any varying stage of dehydration? So let me just say, some of you in this room, maybe you're just thirsty. Maybe you just have the symptoms of thirst in your soul. You know something's missing in your life. You know something, I'm just thirsty, I need something. But maybe others of you are starting to have headaches. Some of you are starting to have the other symptoms of a dehydrated soul. I just am tired all the time. I just don't want to go anymore. I can't understand why I'm lethargic. I have no drive or desire. I have nothing. Maybe you've lost your emotions. Maybe things that make others cry. Your tear ducts have dried up. Your soul is dried up because you don't care about anything. You see the world have all these problems. You see people dying and you think, well, it's over there. It's not here. And it doesn't bother you in your very core of who you are because it's not you. It's them. Maybe you're at some varying stage of this dehydration. So what's the answer? Well, when I look for the answers, I try to look through the scriptures, but I also look to what Jesus says. Jesus one day was in the temple teaching. It was during one of their feasts, one of their big festivals that they had there. And Jesus was in the temple, and he was only there several times teaching that we recorded. But it's one of those times that he was teaching. Thousands of people there, hundreds of people, I'm not sure how many, but it was a big crowd that day. And so he began to teach them all these things. And they're at church, they're in the temple, they're in the church like we are today. They all come for various reasons, from different pasts, different backgrounds, and they're there. And Jesus teaches them all these things about things they should do, things in the scripture. And then he moves over to this one area, and he sits down. And after he sits there a while and looks at everything and surveys the area, he stands up. Listen to what he says. This is in John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, this should be a time that everything is wide open, everything is great. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, now the author is trying to put in a little sentence or two to help you understand what he's talking about. He says, by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So they talk about this Holy Spirit to come, and we think that comes in the book of Acts. We think that comes later on after Jesus' resurrection. But here's the thing. Why would Jesus say, if anyone is thirsty, come to me, if you couldn't come to him right then? If you couldn't come right that moment, you had to wait till he died and resurrected and all that to receive quenching coolness and water for your soul. Why would he say it? So it must mean that you can come to him and receive this. And then listen to how he says. I'm just reading what it says. That's all I'm doing is reading what it says. It says, let anyone who is thirsty. That means anyone. I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're white, black, green, yellow. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your wrapping is. I don't care if you're straight, you're gay. I don't care. It doesn't matter about any of this stuff. I don't care if you're sick or if you're healthy. I don't care if you've got a job or you're unemployed. I don't care if you're whatever. He says, anyone That means anyone. The criteria is not all those things that I said. It's the criteria of I'm thirsty. My soul is thirsty. See, some of us in this room are around water, like splashing the burrow. But we've listened to what the world said, and we think all these other criteria is what's holding us back from getting that refreshing water for our soul. And the truth is, it's our own choice. We're around water all the time, and we play in it. We play around it. We go to church. We sit in church. We do all these things. We're around church people. We're around all these other people, and we're doing this stuff. And yet, our soul is drying up like that raisin. And we sit there, and we think, nobody knows. It's not going to make a big difference. See, some of you in this room right now, when Stephanie talks, it distracts you. And yet you can't hear what's being said to you because it's so different. When the truth comes and you begin to hear the truth, you begin to hear, Satan will try to take the filters of the world and put more on you where you can't hear what he's saying to you. I'm coming back. Are you thirsty? Is your soul thirsting? Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty, that's the criteria. Then he says this, he said, come to me. I want you to understand that. Come to me. Some people say, well, Jesus needs to go to them. Jesus said, you got to take some steps toward me. There's a responsibility on your part. You can't just hang around the water at splashing the burrow. You have to go to the water fountain and take a drink. You're right there at it. Come to me. What's stopping you from coming to Jesus? Is it your past? Is it your future? Is it your fears? All of these things that are keeping you from is going to cause you to die on the vine as a dried up piece of nothing rather than being the fruit that God's called you to be. Amen. Come to me. Come to me when Jesus says that means you can't go to these sports drinks. You can't keep going to Oprah and all these other things. You can't go to these different things to try to get filled. You can't be a workaholic and get filled. You can't be the best parent and get filled. You can't do anything. You've got to come to me. There's nothing wrong with being a great parent. There's nothing wrong with being a hard worker. But without the living water in your soul, what are you? Empty. Empty. Trying to make a difference in the world. Come to me. There's only one route. There's only one well with living water. By the way, Jesus went to a well in Samaria. A Samaritan woman came out to draw water from the well. He's there. He tells her, if you knew who it was who was speaking to you, you would ask him and he would give you living water that wells up to eternity. Why are you so scared of eternity? You know what the woman said? She came to him and said, give me some of that. Give me some of that. Next one is, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. You know that old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can bring your husband to church, but you can't make him drink. You can bring your kids to church, but you can't make them believe. You can bring them all. You can do all these good things, but you can't make them drink. That is a choice that each individual in this room and each individual in the world has to make on their own. But that does not relieve us from the responsibility of leading them to water, of being able to tell them where water is, of being able to let them know what the results of water is in their life. See, some of us keep our mouths shut who have water. We close up our own vessels of overflow and we hold it all in for us. Or maybe our family, but definitely not to a stranger, definitely not to someone else. And drink. The other part that he says here is that whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Get this, it's a two-part message here. First part is, if you're thirsty, come. I'll relieve your thirst. But there's something else. You got to believe what I'm saying. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. And then there's a benefit. Not only do you receive the drinking and the quenching of your thirst for your soul, but then you become a vessel to give out this living water. You begin to be what Jesus was to us. God gave us living water. God created us in the Garden of Eden, right? If we are 65% water, He had to start somewhere. The water was created before us. All of this water issues mean something. He separated the waters. He separated the sky. All of this water, it's not joke. It's connected. We're water. We were created for this. We were created for this relationship with God, and we missed it. So God took His Son, Jesus Christ, with this love of God inside of Jesus, who loved each other and believed that God, what He said would happen. Believe what He said about Him was true. And Jesus came to earth and began to be our living vessel of overflowing water of God through Him to us to quench our souls. And because it was different, we hung Him on a cross. Because we didn't understand. Remember, I told you that increased thirst is the first symptom of dehydration, but there's others. Remember, tired or weary. Think about how you feel some days. I'm not talking about your physical part, but there's a part when our soul, I believe our soul, our body follows our soul. You understand what I'm saying? When my soul is tired, I'm tired. I see people who seem like they have an unending amount of energy. You ever see all those type of people? And I'm like, how does that person keep going? But it's something about their soul. Their soul is being filled. Maybe you've lost your emotions. Maybe you've lost love. Maybe you've had such difficult times in your life where loved ones have died or are struggling or going through difficult times, or maybe you've had difficult things happen to you in your childhood or in your early age. I don't know. Whatever you had happen. And yet, the truth of the whole matter is you ain't forgave God. You blame God for it. Why did you take my husband? Why did you take my wife? Why did you let my parents do that to me? How come you let this happen to me? How could you do this? And we blame God, and we go to Him time and time again, and we're around water, and we don't say, forgive me. Quench my thirst. Quench this hatred. Quench this part of me not forgiving myself or forgiving others. See, I think Jesus is inviting us in this passage to turn to God for meaning and satisfaction. And I believe that through faith and fellowship with Jesus and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we are to share this with others. We begin to have this path that we're supposed to follow. I remind you about Jesus. Remember, Jesus was human, but He was divine, right? And if you remember back, and I don't know if you know this story or not, but Jesus was hung on a cross. He was crucified. It's a terrible way to die. Beaten before that. And He goes through, and He's on the cross, and one of the final things that He says is, according to John, who is the one who is also recording this, where He says, if you're thirsty, come to Me. Listen to what it says in His last few words on the cross. Later, knowing that everything had been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled. So Jesus knows, I've done everything in this world my Father's told me to do. I've been a Time X Watts. I've taken a beating and I've kept on ticking. But this environment has sucked my soul out. It's dried me up. Jesus said, I am thirsty. Jesus said, I am thirsty. And the people around there, a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it on a sponge and soaked it in, and they put the sponge on a stalk, and they reached it up to Him on the cross on a hyssop plant. And they lifted up the Jesus lips. And listen to this. And when He had received the drink, He had taken it, but it didn't quench His thirst. He said, it's finished. And with that, He bowed His head and He gave up His spirit. Because there's nothing on this earth that will quench the thirst of the soul. And that's what Jesus, he needed his Father. I'm thirsty. I've given everything out that you said to give. My blood, everything. And I'm thirsty. As the deer pants for the waters, I thirst for you, God. See, that's what I think he's thinking in those last moments. I'm thirsty. So what are some ways that you can stay hydrated? Well, let's look at hydrating our body and hydrating our soul. Daily prayer and scriptures. Maybe you need materials. Maybe you need the Bible app. Maybe you need the Bible. Maybe you need some scriptures written down. Put them on an index card. Put them in your card. Put them in your pocket. Put them somewhere. And then put an alarm on your clock to say, read them. Remember we said to have your water bottle around you? Maybe we have these scriptures around us more often. And I don't mean on that shelf up on the top in the bookcase where the dust is 3 inches thick on it in some houses, but if you're a very clean person, you only have it 1 inch or whatever, but it's up there where you can't get to it. I'm talking about not the whole Bible, just get you a scripture. Get you something every day to hang on to remind you, to quench your thirst of your soul even during the day, and put you an alarm to remind yourself, drink some water. Drink some water. Because you'll get busy. You get caught up. Maybe it's to pray. Set times, but I'm going to pray before a meal. I'm going to pray when I get up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take a minute when I have my Snickers bar and a drink of water. I'm going to have a read of it. I'm just going to read that scripture over. I'm going to say a prayer right there for myself or somebody else. Whatever it takes. It means you have to be intentional about it. Maybe you take the scripture and you try to memorize it. 2 or 3 days, and maybe if you get away, it's almost like having some water in your backpack because you got it memorized. As a deer pants for the water, so I pant for your soul, or for you, God. Whatever it is. The other one that I think that we'll do is, you remember we said to spice up your water? Maybe you need to get involved in a small group. Get in a group of people who discuss the scriptures, discuss the things that are going on in life, discuss what's going on to help us, to help get quenching from others. It takes time. It takes a little bit of energy. But you know what? You'll be a whole lot better for it. A whole lot better for it. Small groups have served me well. And they've gotten me through a lot. Some of my men's group, I hear words of inspiration. I hear words of encouragement. I listen and watch how they've made it through life. And it gets me going. And I hear God answer my things through them. Because they're willing to share. And I'm not talking about the text world. I'm talking about that one-eye-on-eye contact where I can see the water in their eyes. I can see the sincerity of their heart. Another way, remember we said you might need to change your eating habits. Stop eating the dry things that aren't giving you the moisture that you need, because there's other ways that you can get this moisture in, this water in. Maybe that's by volunteering in the church. Maybe if you've not been volunteering, maybe you need to volunteer in the church. That's a way. Serving others is a way to change it up. Not serve myself all the time. Not always be about me. Let me be about others. Do you understand? Helping others is a way to quench that thirst in your soul. Help them inside the church. Help them outside the church. However you can, help them. There's water fountains everywhere, people. There's opportunities to serve others. You just got to go drink from them. And finally, the last way that you can help stay hydrated is you've got to want it really bad. You got to want to not just survive, you got to want to thrive really bad. See, some people in this world I know that their prayers, they talk to me and they say, "Preacher, I just need to survive one more day." Then my question is, what are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to want to survive one more day. What are you going to do next? I just want to survive one more day. 7 days of that, you know what they did? They survived for 7 days, but they ain't thrived. Amen. Because they're not taking in enough water. They just take in enough water for the day. I just want to get by. I just don't want to cuss, or I just don't want to do this. I don't want to punch my husband in the mouth. I just don't, whatever it is. Oh, some of y'all laugh over there in the college because y'all ain't got any husbands or wives yet, right? But you want to punch your teacher in the mouth. You want to punch those other people in the mouth. There's somebody. My point is, we just want to survive, and we've forgotten how to thrive.
Amen.
The plants were produced and made by God in some way to produce fruit that feeds others. That's what the plants do. But if they're just given enough water just to survive, they'll never produce. You're the same way. I'm the same way. If you don't see fruit of people seeing and understanding and coming to you and say, tell me more about this Jesus. Help me to understand more about this. I want to know what you got that I want to see this. If you don't have that, I would say you need to check your hydration level. Because you may have been past thirsty and you're a little confused now. Because you think that's the way life ought to be. Just make it through another day. It ain't about that. It's about making a difference in the world. There's an ancient tale from India about a young man. And he went to this, I guess it's a guru. Is that what they're called in India or somebody? But he went to this guru or this wise old sage, and he come up to him. He said, how can I find God? The old sage says, so you want to find God? He says, yes, sir, I want it. He said, follow me. So the old sage led him down the road, led him out of town, led him down to a river, and there's a river right there. Didn't say anything, just motioned him. You know what I mean? Come on. Went on out in the water. They waded out this deep. Young man's looking around, looking for God. Waded out this deep. Waded out this deep, the guy's still looking around. Got out about this deep right here. And the old sage looked at the guy in his eyes and jumped on his head and pushed him underwater and held him under. And after about 30 seconds, the flapping started. After about a minute or two, it was full out, arms and legs wailing. He was going crazy. You understand what I'm saying? It was all the way the sage held him under till some bubbles come up. Now there's no bubbles. Held him under until just a few moments before he would have died. And he let him up. Guy comes up. You know how it is. Water's coming out of his nose, coming out of his mouth. He's and the old sage grabs him. He can't even stand up. And pulls him in and gets him halfway to shore. And he's able to hold on to him and make it into shore. And when they got there, the old sage says, did you find God? He says, what does that have to do with finding God? You about drowned me. You put me under. What does that have to do about finding God? He said, when you were under that water, what did you want? He said, I wanted air. I wanted air more than anything else. I needed air. I wanted air. I needed air to survive. He says, when you want God, the same way you wanted that air, then you'll find God. You got to want it real bad. You got to want it real bad. This morning we're going to give you an opportunity to share in one of the known places that is a well for living water. It has been a watering hole for the soul for thousands of years. A watering hole where people who come from all different backgrounds, different past, different futures, all come to get a drink of water. Those who are thirsty come. Those who are dehydrated come. Those who think they aren't thirsty, they still come. And they never go away dissatisfied. And it's Holy Communion. It's a time where we join together with the people from days of old to join together in understanding who fills our soul. There's an old hymn called Fill My Cup. And if Joel could sing it, I'd let him have at it, because it'd be, man, he would tear this one up, I'm telling you. Verses in this goes like this: like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that shall never run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. This morning we're going to read some liturgy. And I'm going to read you the liturgy, and we don't typically do liturgy in this church, but I feel strongly compelled to do this today. And it's the liturgy of invitation, the great thanksgiving, and the breaking of the bread. There'll be bold parts or yellow on the screen, I think, that will be your part to repeat out loud, and I'll repeat the others. This is an open table, an open invitation to anyone who thirsts. Come to me and thirst no more.